We are on to public comment. This is for your chance to comment on items that are not on today's agenda. Mr. Nixon.
Everybody need a 5-hour energy? Tall Starbucks.
We need something.
Are you telegraphing or are you just...
I'll run if you want. My name is Peter Nixon. I'm president of the Virginia Seafood Council. I spoke over here last month. Mr. Robbins, you weren't here. Mr. Plumlee, you weren't here. What I spoke on was my concern about the extreme poor situation we're in the crab industry right now. There are no crabs. There weren't many crabs last year, even with the great numbers that were shown in the crab dredge survey. They were mostly small crabs. They never showed up. The situation has become even worse since I was over here last month. The main reason I'm here today was I got a call from someone that witnessed my speech last month and said, I don't think they heard you. So I've come over here today to try to get your attention. Usually when I speak, I have a little story, sort of an analogy about what's going on. My father told me a story when I was a kid about two farmers that were friends, and one of them had a mule. That was the most fantastic mule this guy had ever. That mule would do anything. And his buddy was over there one day. He said, man, he said, I got to have that mule. He said, will you sell him to me? He said, sure, I'll sell him to you. So he sold him to him. The farmer carried the mule home. The next morning, he harnessed the mule up and got ready to go out and plow the field with him, and he slapped on the reins on the mule's back, and the mule sat down just like a dog, just sat right down on his haunches. I said, what in the world's going on with this mule? So he got up there, and he pulled on the mule and beat on him and tried to lift him up. Mule wouldn't move. So he called his buddy. He said, this mule is awful. He said, I've got to – he said, this was a bad deal. I said, no, wait a minute. He said, I'll be right over. Jumped in his truck and rode over there. Looked at the mule, tried all the same things, pushing and pulling and tugging. Couldn't get the mule to move, and he said to the other farmer, he said, you got a 2x4, about 3-4 feet long? He said, yeah. He said, well, run, go get it. So the guy comes back with a 2x4, and he looks at the mule, and he hits him in the head just as hard as he could hit him. That mule, you know, about 4 feet. I said, what are you doing to my mule? He says, I forgot to tell you, you got to get his attention first. I'm over here to get your attention. We have a problem. It's bad. It's getting worse. And I don't think anybody's paying any attention. For 20 years, I've been hearing, oh, just wait, just wait. We'll do this and we'll do that. Mr. Robbins, about 5 years ago, decided he was going to have a scientific review of the regulations. And if you remember, you and I had a couple real heated discussions about it, enough that you came over to my boat shop and we sat there and talked about it for about an hour or two. I told him the whole thing was a hindrance and a waste of time. And I've got a little thing here I'd like to pass out to you. This was in the Virginia Pilot last Friday. I couldn't believe it. Hit the thing right on the nail on the head. This is what I feel about our biologists and our scientific review of what's going on. Anyway, that's just about the way I feel. I've been standing up here for 20 years telling people there's a problem, there's something wrong, we need to do something about it, and all I get is all this scientific mumbo-jumbo. Well, it's time we do something. Somebody's got to take a proactive step and change what we're doing. We've got an industry going down into tubes. We've got a resource that's not there anymore. There's been no run of peeler crabs this year. It's bad. I'm going to tell you a couple more stories. My wife and mother-in-law's personal physician in Virginia Beach, right next to where we keep our boats, needed some crabs this weekend for the holiday. He talks to my partner that I do oysters with in Lynn Haven, John Meekins, and wants to know if he can get some crabs from John or me or Jamie. He said, no, we don't have any. You know, we don't have what you want. He wanted, you know, nice, large male crabs. Searched all around, finally ended up going down to the south end of Virginia Beach, same story I told you about. Crabs coming from Currituck. Goes down to a fellow by the name of Dooney Bonnie, who has Bonnie Seafoody Crabs in Back Bay and Currituck, and he's on Prince of Sand Road as you turn to Sandbridge Road. He ordered 3 bushels of crabs for 4 o'clock on Saturday. $200 a bushel cooked, straight run males. they're catching crabs in Currituck. They're selling them up the road. The crabs are so scarce everywhere, they're paying $70 a bushel to the truck for trash. Number two crabs. These are crabs you can put your finger through. They're not what we sell for number twos up here. They're light crabs, just shedded. Good, hard number one jimmies are $150 a bushel. What little bit of crabs we had Saturday, I pulled up to our place. I got a 200-foot wide front at the front of my store. I didn't have a place to park. We had 11 bushels of crabs. We sold them all in an hour by the dozen. People just about to be rude to each other to get them. We're in a bad situation. We've got picking houses in this state that aren't picking any crabs. And some of them don't have any help, but they're in good shape because they're not having to pay their out-of-country workers while they're sitting around here doing nothing. Something needs to be done. I know you have this industry panel working on stuff and this, that, and the other, but I tell you what, it's time to quit tugging our beards and do something. My dad told me, he said, never hire a pipe smoker. I said, what? What are you talking about? He said, don't ever hire a pipe smoker. I said, why is that, Daddy? He said, they're always fooling with that damn pipe. Puff it, pack it, light it, beat it on their shoes, something. They're not getting any work done. Well, I always think about all these college professors puffing their pipes and thinking about things. The thinking's over. You got to do something. I'm showing you the 2x4. The other thing is, for those, I've been coming over here a long time. I talked to Ms. Haney about this a week or so ago. I haven't been very active over here in the last 4 or 5 years. Some of you, I don't even know. And we live in the same town. It's up to you to drive what goes on this commission. Don't sit there and wait for Jack or Rob or Joe or Rom or some scientist to come in here and tell you what needs to be done. If you think something needs to be done, you initiate it. This used to happen over here. We had commissioners like Richard Bray and Tim Hayes and Jane Webb and Pete Rowe and some others in years past that made things happen. If they saw a problem, they would go out and try to get themselves educated and find out what the problem was and find a solution to it. I haven't seen that go on in 10 years over here. If you folks think you're supposed to come over here one day a month and say yay and nay, and that's the end of the job, you're mistaken. You're failing to do your job. It's not up to just Jack. There's nine of you here. Do your work. Joe Palmer is in worse shape than anybody in this room, and he spends more time doing his job than any of you other than Jack. And I'm tired of it. We got an industry going down the tubes, and nobody's doing anything to help. I told you last month when I was over here, my dad was a car dealer, and he left me the dealership. Well, now I have another board to deal with. It's called a motor vehicle dealer board. Same setup. We got a board. We got a commissioner. We got a head of the thing. We got inspectors that go out. You know what the main difference is between the motor vehicle dealer board and this commission? The folks that I have to deal with on that are all car dealers. They understand. I'm not saying you folks all have to be watermen, but what you need to do is take the initiative on your own and get educated and find out what we do. Every one of those pieces of paper I handed out have my name, address, and email on them. Tomorrow, the Seafood Council is taking the congressional group of aides on a tour of the whole state. Anybody that wants to know anything about that, what they don't know goes on in this seafood industry that you have to vote on to decide whether it's going to fail or survive, you get a hold of me. I'll arrange for you to go anywhere with anybody, anytime, that you want to go learn and become educated on something. I know Mr. Fox has spent the time going to France and everything else about our oyster issues. But everybody needs to know what they're doing. And I think it's a failure on the part of some members of this commission that they haven't become more involved.
Thank you.
I won't be back. You won't have to worry about it again.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Any other public comment? Yes, sir. Mr. Bender.
I'll try to be brief. My name is Mark Bender. I'm a commercial waterman from the Eastern Shore. Back in February, to make a long story short, when y'all made the regs that me and my daughter couldn't crab on the same vessel using my father's license and whatever, we pursued to get a license from somebody else, and we find one from Mr. David Bell, and the stipulation was if we used his license, if we received a ticket, then he would take the license back from us. I said, well, David, I've never had a crabbing violation in my life that I can remember of. I said, I don't see why that's going to be a problem. And lo and behold, we get a summons from law enforcement. Law enforcement went to the magistrate and issued us a ticket for, as it says on here, illegal placement of crab pots at the bottom, but it says illegal placement of crab pots over an artificial reef. And the artificial reef they were talking about is Cherry Stone Reef on the bay side of the Eastern Shore. There's no buoy on, as of May the 8th, on or about when this was issued. There hasn't been a buoy there for 2 years. Sandy, it wasn't one there during Sandy. It wasn't one there during the previous thing. I don't have any GPS equipment on my boat that has a picture of the land, the buoys, or whatever. I do have a GPS on my boat. I do not have a radar on my boat. I'm on an open 26-foot boat. The only real way that I have to stay off of that buoy, off the fishing reef, is to visually see it and estimate how far I am away from it. When we ran pots out there, we picked pots up in the Kitna Peak area. We started at Cape Charles and ran in a northerly direction. And we were, Mr. Charnock asked me if I had a general idea of where Cherry Stone Fishing Reef was. I said yes. And we ran pots out going to the north. And when we were, pots are everywhere, both sides of us, front, back, Merliners, thousands of pots. When the pots stopped, when we approached the fishing reef, we stopped with everybody else because we figured we were getting close to the fishing reef. We went and got more pots, and we ran pots to the east of the fishing reef. And when the pots started going behind the fishing reef, we went right on with them. Well, the problem was crabbing got bad, and we were the last man standing there. And when law enforcement gave us the summons, he gave the summons to Mr. Bell. He didn't give it to my daughter. They gave us this piece of paper. And I went and saw Mr. Charnock, and it was understanding around the dock that some people that were still left around close to the fishing reef had been given warnings. I asked Mr. Charnock why we didn't get a warning. He said, well, you were blatantly on the reef. I said, what does blatantly mean? He said, you had 21 pots on the reef. And I kind of, if you can see this circle, that's the fishing reef. The only buoy that's out there is a pine line buoy, 38A. It's on the western side of the circle of the fishing reef. This piece of paper they give me says that you have to be 667 yards in any direction from the yellow buoy to stay off the reef. Well, it's kind of hard to step. You know, if you want somebody to stay off your grass, you put a sign that says, keep off the grass. Or if you want somebody to stay off your arch grind, you stick it up, keep off. If you want somebody to stay out of your parking spot, I'm sure your parking spot's got your name on it. If it blew down, you wouldn't be able to say, you know, whatever. But I asked Mr. Charnock, I said, well, how come some other people got a warning? He said that they only had 6 or 7 pots on there. I said, well, there's only 2 sides of a circle, the inside of it and the outside of it. I mean, I feel like if they got a warning, I should have got one. Evidently, he knew who pots we were because he issued the summons. So Mr. Bell doesn't know anything about this. He didn't put the pots out there. I did, me and my daughter. And I told Mr. Charnock.
The summons was written to Mr. Bell, didn't you say?
Yes.
And he doesn't know anything about it?
No, he received this. He received his summons and this. Okay. But it's hard for Mr. Bell to go to court and defend himself if he don't even know what happened. So I asked Mr. Ballard to tear Mr. Bell's summons up and issue one to my daughter because my daughter is Mr. Bell's agent. So they did that. So now my daughter's freaked out. She's 35 years old, has never had a parking ticket, a ticket in her life, and her daddy has got her a summons to appear in court. She doesn't like it. I don't really want to go to court over this. I mean, if the yellow buoy was there and I trumped across there, you would never see me here today. But without the fishing reef buoy there and been gone for all of this time, and for the VMRC to issue tickets over this, I don't think that's right. I don't feel like I should have to drag my daughter and myself to Eastfield Court to defend myself. I don't want to take the chance on defending myself and losing the permit from Mr. Bell, because he stated that if I do receive a ticket, I will lose it, I'll be out of work. And I just don't think it's right to issue a summons for being on the fishing reef if the buoy is not there. That's all I got to say, unless y'all want to ask any questions.
Any questions?
And I just would like somebody to tell me, I've tried three different avenues to avoid wasting the court's time, my time, and I haven't got anywhere. Mr. Ballard asked Mr. Charnock if he would tear the ticket up. He doesn't want to. I can't believe that it would be a court that would prosecute us, but I don't want to take the chance. And I was just wondering if there's anything that you could tell me to do to avoid going to court.
First of all, I think it would be inappropriate for us to comment on a case that hasn't gone to court. My advice to you would be to go to court. I think that's the only advice I can give you.
And find a lawyer.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time.
Any other public comment? All right, we're going to move on to